the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:13.
Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
This is a beautiful night. A full bright moon, cloudless sky. Pilgrims' tents dot the landscape, silenced for the night. It's a touching sight.
You look at earthly beauty, I do not. Behold the Master. He, too, is silent, strangely silent. His face reflects what must be a heart full of sorrow.
Sorrow? About what?
Have you not listened to his words during this entire day?
Every word.
Well, then you must have noticed that he spoke frequently about leaving us, suffering, death.
He is suffering. He staggers. Catch him.
My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death.
The end of the battle is near. I, Lucifer, shall win.
How often have you said that, Beelzebub?
That is not the point, my ugly lieutenant. Remember when he stopped the stoning of one of my converts by writing secrets in the dust? Right after that, he said something very significant. His exact words: "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." Remember that?
Well, of course, Beelzebub. I was there with you.
Well, tonight his Father is not going to be with him. He will be shut out from God's sustaining presence. And you know what is going to happen.
Sure. You're going to step in and win the war that has been going on between the Son of God and you ever since you rebelled in heaven. Remember that?
Without God's sustaining help, he can do nothing. I can and will win. Tonight, he will be numbered with the sinners. He has not sinned, yet tonight upon him will be laid the iniquity of all who have or will sin. If God were to be with him, he could probably resist my cunning, but all alone he cannot. Even the angels, those who did not believe in me, as you did, cannot help him. He might be able to resist me if he had just the help of his disciples, but he won't. You take care of them. Make them go to sleep or anything. You've done it before. You can do it again.
Yes, Beelzebub.
I personally will take care of him.
Remain here at the entrance to the garden, my beloved disciples. All except Peter, James, and John. You three come with me.
Yes, Master. This has been an eventful day, Lord. May we go all the way with thee as thou prayest to the Father.
Oh, my beloved, I desire greatly that the three of you should spend the night with me in prayer. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I will be close by.
The Master falls prostrate upon the ground.
My Father in heaven, help me, help me. Sin is separating us, Father. The gulf is so broad, so black, so deep, that my spirit, Father, shudders before it. I realize, Father, that before time was, we agreed that divine power was not to be exerted at this time to help me over this great abyss. As man, I must suffer the consequences of man's sin. Help me overcome the adversary.
Everything is at stake right here and now, isn't it? You know that you cannot win in the form of a man without divine help. So why don't you give up? Why go through all this agony and lose in the end anyway? Together, we will rule the human race. You are well acquainted with the facts. As surety for a sinful world, the separation between you and the Father will be eternal. You will be identified with my kingdom, never more to be one with God. The leaders of Israel, whom you have claimed to be your people, have rejected you. They seek to destroy you. One of your own disciples, who has listened for 3 years to your instructions, will betray you. One of your most zealous followers will deny you. All will forsake you.
the very ones you have worked so hard to save, these whom you have loved, have already united with me. Join me willingly, and I will make you joint king of this earth. The sins of men weigh heavily upon you. Why continue? Join me. Even if you were to win, and you will not, is it worth the price? Is it?
Oh, my father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I need human love and sympathy. Peter, James, they've fallen asleep. But they did not intend to. They knew not how much it would have helped me had I found them watching and praying. Oh, my beloved disciples, if you could just realize how necessary careful watching and earnest prayer are in order to withstand temptation. Peter, James, John.
Yes, my dear.
Oh, Peter, my... sleepest thou?
I slept, Lord.
Couldst not thou watch 1 hour?
Forgive me, Lord.
Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak.
Turning away, Jesus again seeks his retreat. The awful moment has come, that moment which is to decide the destiny of the world. Christ could even yet refuse to drink the cup of sinful man.
It is not too late. You can wipe the blood from your brow and leave man to perish. You can go back to your Father and enjoy the admiration and the worship of angels and unfallen worlds. You are innocent of sin. Why should you suffer the penalty for sin?
Oh, my father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.
Three times Jesus utters that prayer. Three times humanity shrinks from the terrible sacrifice. Suddenly the heavens are opened. A light shines forth from heaven, and the mighty angel who stands in God's presence, occupying the position from which Satan fell, comes to the side of Christ. Not to take the cup from Christ's hand, but to strengthen him to drink it, and with the assurance of his Father's continued love. Christ's agony does not cease, but his depression and discouragement leave him. The storm has not abated, but Jesus is strengthened to meet its fury. He comes forth calm and serene, heavenly peace resting upon his blood-stained face. He has borne that which no human being could ever bear, for he had tasted the sufferings of death for every man. Returning, Jesus again finds his three most beloved disciples asleep.
Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Wait up. What do you want, Carlos? I'm in a hurry.
I just wanted to know that I did what you told me to do.
That's unusual.
I started praying to God.
Well, who else would you pray to?
Wait, you don't understand. He's not listening. Kinda like you right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Talking to God is important, and I should listen to you, even if I am in a hurry. Why isn't God listening to you?
I don't know. I told him what I needed, and nothing happened. Like yesterday, I prayed that I'd get a good grade on my history test. I got a C-.
Did you study?
Well, yeah, a little. Well, not much. Okay, no.
And you thought God would just pop the answers into your head because why?
Because I asked. I asked nicely.
Carlos, God isn't Santa Claus. He doesn't come down the chimney and leave good grades lying around.
Dora, Santa Claus isn't real. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know that. I'm saying that God doesn't just give you stuff. It's like my dad tells me. When you ask God for something, he doesn't say yes or no. He usually says, here's how. After you ask for a good grade, was there a little voice in your head saying, you might want to study your history lessons?
Hey, yeah, I heard that voice. Didn't listen.
Well, there you go. Next time you pray, sit and listen for a while. God's probably trying to tell you what you need to do. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Thanks, Dora. You're a good friend, even if you got an A on that test.
I listened.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is The Midnight Visitor. Everything had been dark and quiet for several hours on the mission compound where Bruce lived with his parents in Central Africa. The wind ruffled the curtains at the half-opened window and touched the mosquito netting that hung over the bed. Suddenly, Bruce stirred in his sleep and awoke, wide-eyed and listening. He sat up in bed and pulled the light blanket up under his chin. He felt the goose pimples creeping over him. What had awakened him? Then he heard voices coming from the living room. Surely his parents weren't having company at that hour of the night. Or was it morning? It must be after midnight, he thought. He'd been asleep for quite a while. He listened again. There were other noises besides the sounds of voices. Noises coming from a distance, brought into his room on the breeze that ruffled the curtain at the window. There was the steady thud, 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 as if someone were cutting down trees with an axe. There was the ring of metal on metal. There was the sound of shouting and crying. Above it all, Bruce could hear the pounding of his own heart. He tossed back the bed covers, pulled up the mosquito netting that had been tucked under the mattress, and slipped from under the net. Glancing toward the window, he saw a flame of light reach up into the sky. Fire! He said in a hoarse whisper as another flame shot up. His throat felt tight. There were fires at Malampondo Village about 2 miles from the mission. At that time of the year, the grass was tender dry, but in a moment, Bruce realized the fires were not brush fires. The fires were being lighted by a mob. The shouting and crying noises were louder now. The thudding sounds were plainer. They were made by axes felling trees. The ring of metal upon metal was made by spears and knives hitting against the steel telephone poles. The sounds were coming closer. The mob was coming toward the mission. Bruce felt glued to the spot. He wanted to cry out, but no sound came. He wanted to run, but where? Who was in the living room? Where were his mother and dad? Then he remembered hearing the talk that trouble was brewing. What was the trouble? He hadn't paid too much attention. His parents had been calm about the rumors. But now he remembered the words of the district commissioner who had been talking to Daddy a few days before. He had said, "You missionaries better go over to the tea estate at Makwasa if you don't want to barricade the mission or carry arms. You'll be safe over there." Daddy had replied, "Thank you, sir, but we are barricaded at the mission. The angel of the Lord will be our protection. Everyone knows we do not dabble in politics, but are here to bring the people a better way of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But now the mob was coming toward the mission. Bruce turned and saw the door of the living room opening. With a sigh of relief, he saw Daddy coming toward him. The light from the living room streamed across the hall and into his room. Bruce felt better now. Daddy was with him. He was safe. Daddy put his arm across Bruce's shoulder. "Dress quickly, son. There is a little trouble among the people, but I want you to remember the promises of God's word. Lo, I am with you always." And another that says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." He smiled down at Bruce and added, "God's promises never fail." "Daddy, are the villagers setting fires?" Bruce asked as he began to dress. "Yes, son. We may have to leave the mission. The other missionaries are here at our house. We are planning what is best to do. I want you to stay close by me. I will need your help." So that was the reason for the lights and the voices from the living room. Would they all have to leave their homes? Where would they go in the middle of the night? What could he do to help Daddy? "Take this," Daddy was saying. "It is a little chilly." He handed Bruce his sweater. Bruce could feel the goose pimples all over again. He gave a little shiver. Then he put his hand in Daddy's, and they went to the living room. There were John and Ann and Mike and Randy and the Webster baby and all the mothers and fathers. The children seemed to be hanging on to their parents. Bruce thought they all looked a little scared. He tried to smile at his best friend, Randy. And what was that promise Daddy had repeated? "Lo, I am with you." Bruce knew God was his heavenly Father. If Daddy had told him to stick close to him, he knew God would want him to stick even closer to him. He sent up a prayer. "Please, God, keep us all from harm and danger and bless all our friends around the mission." Bruce looked over at the Webster baby asleep in its mother's arms. Why, that was how he should feel about God, safe and protected. God would keep them all safe. He looked around to see if all the missionaries were there. Two of the men were not there. Bruce reached up to tap Daddy on the arm and ask him about the men, but Daddy took the Bible from the bookshelf, and before Bruce could ask the question, Daddy said, "Friends, let's read a psalm full of promise." Bruce listened. He knew the psalm Daddy was reading. It was the 91st psalm. He knew some of the verses by heart. He could almost follow along with Daddy. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Daddy stopped reading and closed the book. Just then, the door opened and the two missionaries walked in. Bruce had never seen the men look so radiant before. "Thank God for His protection," one of the men said. "Yes, we've just witnessed a miracle. God's ways are beyond our understanding," the other added. "What miracle did you see?" Bruce asked. "Yes, tell us, what miracle?" several others urged. "Well," one man began, "you know we went up to the mission gate to see if we could all leave without calling any attention to ourselves. When we reached the gate, we realized that the mob was not far away and was coming toward the mission property. We knew it would be useless for us to come back and tell you to take the road away from town. It stops at the Broadshire River, and there is no way to cross other than by the train bridge. We were trapped. There was no earthly place to turn." And then the mob was at the gate. "We hid in the tall bushes. We saw the bundles of grass for thatching we had stacked at the gate start to burn. The sign over the mission gate caught fire, but the mob rushed around the far side and started down the road." "And then it happened," the other missionary interrupted. "What?" Bruce asked. "What happened?" He saw the men's eyes light up and a smile on their faces such as Bruce had never seen before. "A voice spoke. A voice spoke as plainly as I am speaking to you. Only it was in the Sinyanja language so that the people could understand. The voice said, 'Do not touch the mission.'" Bruce gasped. "An angel? Was it an angel?" The missionary looked down at the boy. "This I know. The mob turned and left the mission. They went down the road toward the tea estate." "It must have been an angel," Bruce said. "Doesn't the Bible say, 'The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them?'" All the others nodded, and Daddy said, "Let us kneel and thank God for his protection and for the midnight visitor."
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955. This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.